The following is part two of a lecture by Imam Muhammad entitled Dealing with Money Problems, recorded in Dallas, Texas, on May 23rd, 1992.
Saying to me that now, if you had a child and something happened to separate you from that child, the child had no way of making connection with you, but you had a way of making connection with that child. But you couldn't get that child to be aware of you as his parent. Now, we know God can do anything, but God has also some laws that he established for his relationship with his creatures. Although he can do anything, he can do anything. He has the power to do everything. But he has established some laws for his relationship with his creatures. Now, it came to me, it says, now, if that child heard your name and said, oh, I don't care nothing about that person, say, would that change your feeling toward that child? No. If that child say, oh, I don't even believe he exists, no, wouldn't change it. If that child cursed the name, would it affect the relationship? No. Why? Because the child has been separated from me. The child does not really have any direct way of communicating with me. And the child is not believing the communication that's coming from others. That's my child. I love him still. Right? And if I have the power, I will help that child. I will be with that child as though I was physically with that child. If I could. Whenever I saw that child doing something that merited a better condition in his life, whether he knew me or not, or conceived me correctly or not, I would give him credit for what he merited. If he did kindness by another human being, by another child, I would give him credit for that. If he woke up and took care of his teeth, brushed his teeth, and kept himself clean, I'd give him credit for that. That's the God. You don't have to know God by his name. You don't have to love God. But if you be good, God knows the relationship is broken. If you try to be good, you're going to get results from God just as though you know God. And that's God. How can God be any other? If God is any other, he's not a good God. He's not their God. Now you might say, well, if people give advice and give right, sometimes the circumstances will not permit anybody to help you. You lose faith in everything. And you say, I can't trust anything but myself. And really, you can't trust yourself. See, really, when we get in that condition, we are not really trusting ourselves, but we're just putting up with ourselves. So, well, hell, I can't escape myself. So I'm going to put up with myself. But really, I have experience with people like that. Really, they're not trusting themselves. They don't trust anything else, and they don't trust themselves either. But they have to live with themselves. And it appears that they're trusting themselves when they're not. And an article was in the Chicago Tribune, May 14th, on unemployment. And it didn't just present the bad picture or the bad state of employment. It also tried to give some answers. And that's the kind of treatment of problems that we should appreciate. We shouldn't appreciate people just giving us a problem or telling us about a problem and not trying to help us with that problem. You know, you don't need a doctor that'll tell you you're sick and stop. Say, okay, doc, I got an appointment. Can you do me some good? Yes, I can. You're sick. In fact, you're all messed up. I don't know how long you're going to live like that. And you know a lot of people out there sick like you. Would you like to hear some statistics? Okay, $50. We'll see you next week. You don't want a doctor like that. The human heart, our heart, the human heart, is very special. Very special. Especially when we understand that the human heart is a free heart. Free heart. Now, you know the expression free heart means giving, right? Oh, he's a free-hearted person. It means he's a giving person, charitable person. I don't mean it in that sense. I mean it free as a slave is free. Free. Or as a free thinker. The mind is free. Free heart. We are given a free heart because we are individuals with freedom of thought. Freedom of thought. The heart is free too. And the Bible doesn't mention only thinking, but it mentions thinking in connection with the heart. As a man thinketh in his heart. As a man thinketh in his heart. How in the world is somebody going to think in his heart? Well, that's a kind of a poetic description, a poetic picture of what's happening. You're thinking in your mind, but your heart is governing that activity. Your heart is governing that activity. So though you are thinking in your mind, the mind is governed by the heart, you're actually thinking in your heart. And I find that most people think in their hearts. When people think well of me, it's because their heart favors me. When people think ill of me, it's because their heart doesn't favor me, or their hearts don't favor me. So I find that pretty true. Now I try not to be a person limited to thinking with a brain or mind that's limited to thinking in my heart. I try not to be that kind of person. Because sometimes our heart can be the trouble for our thinking, but most often our mind is the trouble for our hearts. Let me get back to that thought, free heart, the free heart of the human being. The human being is a creature created by God to have free vision, liberated vision, liberated perception, liberated perception that goes outside of his small confines, like the sun rising up, appearing to rise up out of the earth itself and go up above and put light on everything below and around. The human heart, with its sensitivities, is like that. It can rise from its small confines and perceive by some way, by some light. It perceives what is beneath it and all around, and gets such broad vision that its sensitivities, its nourishing sensitivities, its nourishing sensitivities begin to reach not only that little small body that it rose out from, but the whole world.
Thank you for your financial support of Imam Muhammad's ministry and this radio broadcast. Your contributions are appreciated. Send your donations to the MACA Fund. That's M-A-C-A, the MACA Fund. Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. That's the MACA Fund. Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409.
The human being's heart has been created like that. Now, if that heart loses the nature given to it by its creator, but still has that freedom, that's going to be the most tormented heart on this earth or in creation. in time, it's going to be the most miserable heart in all the creatures, of all the creatures. Why? Because this freedom is too big for any creature without support from something bigger than creation itself. So here he comes with God. Call it what you want to. I said something. Now we know that we don't see anything out there in the physical world that has the freedom that we have. The sun is definitely more important to the maintaining of this world in the way it is, and keeping us alive, and etc. We know that. Sun is much more important, at least in the long run, or for any part of time, I guess. But we know one thing, the sun is not free. Sun is not free. The sun is locked into a cell. And all it can go is make a circle in that cell. That's all it can do. Make a circle in that cell. And it appears as though it's making a circle around us. We know we are turning, and it appears to be making a circle around us. Well, that's all it can do. In the space that it is given by God, it's only circling. That's all it's doing. It's just whirling in a circular shape in that space it was given. But look at us. We can turn around. We can walk up and down. We're free to change our movements. We change our movements. We stop our movements. If the sun could stop its movement, it'd be all over, wouldn't it? Be all over for everything in this system, in this solar system, if it could stop its movement. So I see was something there too, but I pass over it right now. Yes, so, you know, we are free. So we have an advantage over everything God created. The animals are not free. We see animals, they're free to move relatively free as it seems than the sun or these bodies, these physical bodies, but they are not really free. They are also limited. They are clocked in. Their behavior is limited and already defined by instinct. They can't go out of the limits of their animal instincts unless we train them to do so. And then they can only be trained to do so much. They cannot be trained to do anything that would make us believe that they have evolved above the level of instinct control creatures. Huh? Right. No matter what we teach, we know that's our training. Still, he's still governed by instinct. But we are not governed by instinct. We come out of that. And we are free to change reality. See, the animals have never changed reality. They go crazy, but they leave reality the way it is. Don't think they don't go crazy now. Especially the way we treat animals, they often go crazy. We don't even know it, but they go crazy. But they don't change reality. They leave reality the way it is. They just go crazy. But we go crazy, we change reality. We go crazy in the house, and then we make the house crazy. The teacher goes crazy, he makes the students crazy. The preacher goes crazy, he makes the congregation crazy. See, if we go crazy, we make everything else crazy. We change reality. Now, what I'm getting at now is this, that the human freedom of mind, freedom of thought, and the heart being so powerful, it governs our minds, whether we know it or not. You don't devote your mind to something until your heart is drawn to it. Then you devote your mind to it. Your heart has to be drawn to that. Then you can devote your mind to it. So this free, big, powerful heart of ours is just too much for us to manage without the help of something bigger than this material reality. If you can accept that, then a new door is open for you if you didn't accept that before. A new door will be open to you if you didn't accept that before. The door of hope, the door of new perception and new opportunity. Just that should change your perception of yourself and perception of your reality, the reality for you, the reality for you in any given situation, whether you're alone with yourself or at home with your relatives, or out on the job with somebody, or in the street, or in the streets, in the public streets, wherever you are, whether you're in good circumstances or bad circumstances. If you didn't think in that way, thinking in that way should change the way you look at yourself, should change the way you look at the external world. Now I want to talk about motivation. We need something to motivate us in a positive way, in a productive way. What will motivate that 50% unemployed? Now we hear 77% unemployed. We hear these different percentages. They're talking about people who they got records of that work. That's what they're talking about. We don't know. Something should tell you that those statistics are wrong. If they're actually to be interpreted or read like every one of us read them. And you go in your neighborhood, you know there's more than 7% unemployed. In the average house, there's 50%. Average household is 50% unemployed. They're talking about those that they got on record, you know. You're waiting to be rehired. You got laid off. Your job was terminated or something, you see. That's what they're talking about when they're talking about the unemployed. Those are employers' figures. You got me? Those are the employers' figures. That's what they're giving. Employers' figures say, I mean, employed. Yeah. Well, we got an office in Calumet City. I could give you the figures of our unemployed. But that doesn't say anything for the reality out there in the streets or in the city. No. So this article in the Tribune by Longworth, the writer's name is Longworth, says that actually in the most depressed areas of the inner city, unemployment runs as high as 50%. As high as 50%. But these people are out of reach of anybody. Nobody. They were never on their own records for being employed or anything. So they're out of reach. Who's in touch with them? Who can say they don't have a job? You have to go there and find out. You have to see for yourself. You have to see them idle. In the vicinity of them that are idle to know that they are the unemployed. So that is what they call the chronic unemployed people. We have many unemployed people. Now, of that big number, many of them are not bothered about having a job. Say, well, what does it have to do with the money thing? It has a lot to do with it. When you better see the reality for your circumstances, or for the circumstances of the people that your heart goes out to, when you see that, then you're in better shape to deal with any problem related to the condition of the people, or your condition. Now, so he said, this man documents that people come to employers to get jobs. So many come to the employer for jobs. Of the many that come, say 30, most of them will not be even considered. Why? Because, he says, usually when they give applications out, many of them will just get up and leave without even finishing the application. They don't even get a chance to have an interview. Many of those that were approved for the interview don't show up. And most of those that were actually interviewed don't qualify. Either their reading level is too low, their ability to do the perform the job, the task, is not there, so they're not even hired. Some of them have criminal records. Some of them are on drugs. So we just can't look at the state of unemployment and say we need jobs. Can you get the jobs? You can't employ these people. So we're going to now demand that our government spend our taxpayers' money to create enough jobs to hire all the unemployed. If we're just dealing with that 7% or so, that's reality. That's real. Yeah, we should, I agree, all of us should support us eliminating unemployment if we are talking about that figure that they give around 6, 7, 4, 5, 6. Now it's under that. The highest, I think, is about 7% for certain areas or for certain depressed areas of the United States. But if we are talking about the great majority of unemployed people, and they're not just African Americans now, maybe we are hurt more than anybody else, but a large number of those are Hispanics and some others that we wouldn't even think of. They're among those two. The lifestyle is just killing the initiative, the positive or productive initiative in the society. The lifestyle. But that's not enough just to tell you that. So have patience with me. So how do we make the people fit for employment? That should be the question, huh? How can we make our youth and our young men, our males in this society, how can we make them fit for employment? We have to convert them to a new mind, a new way of thinking, so they'll have new perception, new way of looking at themselves, and new way of looking at the world, new way of looking at the challenges out there in the world. That's what we have to do. There's no other answer. No other answer. You can forget it. Or we need a revolution. What kind? A violent revolution? That's what we have out there in the streets every night and day. A violent revolution. We're going to recruit those fools out there to liberate us? That beat up each other, maim each other, kill each other over petty things? You got to give up this crazy thinking, brothers and sisters. Some of you are becoming more crazy than we used to be, you know. These sisters, man, it's something else. They pumping iron and putting on boxing gloves and running 6 and 10 miles. Don't know how to cut a nice piece of cake anymore and serve it.
The Sensemaker presents Al-Islam, Unity and Leadership by Imam W. Dean Muhammad. This new book is must-reading for everyone, which gives a concise and historical understanding of Al-Islam. Imam Muhammad's new book is filled with photos and graphics and words of wisdom that appeals to common sense. Al-Islam, Unity and Leadership by Imam W. Dean Muhammad. Order your copy by sending a check or money order for $7.95 plus $1.50 shipping and handling to The Sense Maker, care of the Muslim Journal, 910 West Van Buren, Suite 100, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. That's The Sense Maker, care of the Muslim Journal, 910 West Van Buren, Suite 100, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. For more information and wholesale rates, call 312-243-7600. That's 312-243-7600. Get this dynamic new book from Imam W. Dean Muhammad, The Sense Maker. Imam W. Dean Muhammad Speaks. Join us again next week for Imam W. Dean Muhammad. Thank you for listening.